The Philippine region known as Mimaropa was battered by a strong typhoon this week, causing a lot of damage. And tragedies like this always cost lives and millions in damage of property and agricultural crops. But what is interesting to know is that from the original name of the typhoon, according to the Pagasa list of Nonoy, Pagasa was pressured to change it to what it eventually came to be known by as Nona. And the idea was to deflect ridicule from the president, from President Noynoy. But even with the change of names, it does not change the cost of damage the typhoon incurred. And we too have various names to call our waste of money. We call it necessity or other words, but it does not change the wastage if it is really waste of money. And it is imperative to refresh our thoughts periodically that we are accountable for the use of our money, not only accountable to our boss or to the income tax authorities. We are accountable to God ultimately how we make use of the way God has prospered us. And this is a good occasion for such refreshing thoughts as we expound chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians. These two remaining chapters in our series on 2 Corinthians have the most concentrated teaching on the matter of giving. And I always remind you, especially our visitors, this is not a major discourse from this pulpit. Hindi ito palagi ang tinatalakay sa pulpitong ito, ngunit narito tayo sa isang bahagi ng kasulatan na maraming sinasabi tungkol dito. Hindi natin iiwasan ang mga punto, ang mga pagtuturo ng ganitong bahagi ng Biblia. Instead, I always challenge you to be ready, to be taught, to be challenged, perhaps to be rebuked. But we must understand that there is such a thing as the grace of giving. And that alone is very important, distinctive of the Christian view of giving. It is a grace. As a grace, it is a response first to the grace of God, because God has been gracious to us that we must exercise the duty of giving not simply as obedience to the law or to any command. It is part of that grace that has been imparted into us as believers. Ang pagbibigay ay biyaya. Hindi ito isang tungkunin lamang na sumusunod tayo sa utos o sa mga batas. Ito ay biyaya na tumutugon sa naunang biyaya ng Diyos sa ating Panginoong Hesukristo. At kung hindi mo nalalaman ang biyaya ng Diyos kay Hesukristo, hindi mo nalalaman ang pagtugon sa biyaya, at ikaw ay inaanyayahan na lumapit kay Hesukristo, malaman mo ang biyaya ng Diyos hindi sa pamamagitan ng gawa o mga seremonya ng relihiyon at simbahan, kundi ang ginawa ng Diyos kay Kristo sa kanyang kamatayan, pagkabuhay na muli. Yan ang biyaya ng Diyos na tanging paraan na maligtas ang sinuman. And the Christian who has responded to this message of grace now has that grace of giving put in him, inculcated in him. And therefore, every time we examine our giving, let us begin with this distinctive. It is a grace. And along with other graces, such as love, patience, and those other graces, the grace of giving must also grow in our Christian life. Now here, we are at the section where Paul mentions an unnamed brother who will travel with Titus, representing the churches. And while unnamed, we are told of his qualification that he is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. Here we see then the partnership of benevolence, that is, using our resources to help the needy, and then the preaching of the gospel or evangelism, they go together. But as I argued in the past messages, the preaching of the gospel take precedence to that of benevolence. But what we see here is the involvement of churches to make sure that the priority of the gospel is maintained. And then last week, in our last text, we have one of the most important principles on the issue of testimony concerning the use of money. And we see Paul's example of mindfulness of that testimony, he makes provision for trusted people to go with Titus and also to go with him to Jerusalem so that there can be no suspicion. And from that we learned that believers must be mindful of an irreproachable testimony in church finances. We conclude chapter 8 with our text this afternoon. I invite you to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 22 to 24. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verses 22 to 24. And with them we are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men. Now here Paul mentions another brother besides the brother who is famous for preaching the gospel. Another brother is here introduced and again remaining unnamed. He mentions this brother who will go with Titus to Corinth together with the earlier one mentioned. And through his well-known zeal and earnestness, Paul expects the Corinthians to respond with generosity. And notice how Paul is building up these two brothers, at least, and then Titus, and among other things he said is that they are messengers of the churches. In other words, Paul expects that one of those perspectives, one of those motives to stimulate our giving liberally is the consideration of churches other than our own. And this is my message. Esteem for churches and their messengers animates the liberality of giving. Ang paggalang sa mga iglesia at ang kanilang mga sugo ay nag-uudyok sa kaluwagan ng pagbibigay. Esteem for churches and their messengers animates the liberality of giving. So what we see here is Paul is building up the standing of Titus. He calls him my partner and fellow worker. As for the brothers, he said they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So Paul is making the Corinthians feel the weight of considerations outside of themselves, outside of their own church. They must think of the churches, and the presence of the messengers is a means for them to think of churches other than themselves. And this is a challenge for ourselves as a church and as individual believers. Have a wider perspective. Magkaroon ka ng mas malawak na pananaw sa paggagamitan ng iyong mga ibinibigay na hindi lamang sa iyong personal o sa iyong iglesia, kundi sa mas malawakan na kaharian ng Diyos. And I want to observe two things in this attempts by Paul to encourage the Corinthians to give liberally in consideration of those matters outside of themselves and of the church. The first observation, churches join together in pursuit of ministry. Ang mga iglesia ay nagsasama-sama sa pagkilos sa ministeryo. Churches join together in pursuit of ministry. And secondly, brethren give readily in honor of messengers. Ang mga kapatiran ay handang magbigay sa kanilang pagpaparangal sa mga sugo ng iglesia. So first of all then, churches join together in pursuit of ministry. In reference to these two brothers who will accompany Titus, Paul calls them messengers of the churches. Now on the presumption that Paul at this point is in Macedonia, we can assume that the churches referred to would be Macedonian churches. They are acting together as one for this singular project of collecting funds to help needy churches. Take note, it is not one church acting, it is several churches in Macedonia acting. Well, what do we learn here? We learn that churches need unity of ministry to serve the interests of the kingdom of Christ. Ang mga iglesia ay kailangan ng pagkakaisa sa ministeryo upang hanapin at itaguyod ang interes ng kaharian ng Panginoong Hesukristo. And here I'm going to say something that may be misunderstood, I hope not. But many Baptist churches are overzealous for independence and autonomy to the point that they become parochial. Parochial means looking only at your own backyard. At ganito ang nangyayari sa maraming mga Baptist churches, and I am one to defend the independence of a Baptist church. I am one who teaches the autonomy of the government of every Baptist church. We do not believe in denominations. We do not believe in a central government that governs other churches. Much less do we believe in a bishop or archbishop who oversees several dioceses. That is not the way our churches are structured. The New Testament clearly indicates that churches, every local church is independent and autonomous. That is, it can exist as a church without any identification with a large organization or central authority. Now, when one becomes overzealous on independence and autonomy, they can see nothing beyond their church, and the best that they could think of about other churches is that our only duty is pray for others. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe that churches must pray for one another, and in our church prayer meeting, you know that we always have space for praying for other churches. But if the churches of the New Testament and of Paul are models to us, praying for one another is not enough. The kingdom of Christ is larger than the church. It is larger than the churches together, and churches must work together to extend it. We just sang the line of Isaac Watts, "His kingdom stretch from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more." In other words, it is global. My friend, if you hear the gospel, you are not hearing a local message. You are not hearing a message of a culture. This is a message that extends to the world and is the same for every single individual in the world. And it is a pity if you have heard that message and simply dismissed it as the message of GBC or of a particular culture. No, this is kingdom message. And because the kingdom is large, larger than any church, larger even than churches, then a church becomes, it becomes imperative for churches to promote and extend the claims of the kingdom of Christ together. Yes, a church is independent as far as its identity is concerned. Yes, the church government is autonomous. But with independence, there must be same emphasis on interdependence. Independent, but interdependent among churches. We are dependent on each other for ministry. With autonomy, there must be an emphasis on shared responsibility to promote and extend the kingdom of Christ. Mayroon tayong kasarinlan. Ngunit hindi ibig sabihin ng kasarinlan ay pag-iisa sa mga interest ng kaharian. Meron tayong kalayaan, ngunit hindi ibig sabihin ng kalayaan na wala tayong pakialam sa iba. Hindi ganun itinayo ang iglesia ng Panginoon. Now, we are not told what process the Macedonian churches underwent that resulted in unity of ministry. Did they form an association as we would understand it today? Well, perhaps, or at least some ancient equivalent of it. But what is well known in history is that Baptist churches of the 17th and 18th centuries formed associations that enabled them to accomplish much, though they were small compared to the mainstream churches. That was how they accomplished much, though they were small and minority, they formed churches together as associations. And the wisdom of joining together as churches is that we combine resources, which individually would be meager, but together would be considerable to fund bigger projects beyond a singular church, and this is something that has been a challenge to Baptist churches around the world and certainly to the Philippines. According to psychologists, the top phobia is agoraphobia, which means fear of open space. We have our comfort zone in what is more enclosed, where we can have easier access to every point. Open space creates fear and anxiety. And sometimes in the spiritual sense, that is also true. Churches are comfortable with their own backyard, and the idea of being there in the open space to work together for the kingdom, for many, is something uncomfortable, to say the least. But this is the challenge to us. Pray for more unity among our churches to strive, combining resources for ministries. Na kailangan ang mga iglesia ay magsama-sama upang pagsamahin ang ating mga kakayanan, ang ating mga kasangkapan, at ipagpatuloy, itaguyod ang kaharian ng Panginoon. We thank the Lord that as individual churches, we are preserved for many years now. But as a community of churches, I am afraid to say we are still like immature teenagers with little active shared ministries. Some churches act like they exist all by themselves, hardly appearing in shared activities of churches. And I remember many years ago when we were still on the stage of discussing the creation of an association, many dear brethren took the position that every ministry should only be under the oversight of a single church. And other churches need only to help perhaps financially and by prayer, but every ministry they posited must be only under one church. But look at this. These two brothers presumably were members of their own church. And yet the decision, which is a verb that is singular, meaning this is one decision, and who decided? Churches. The churches appointed. That single decision was done by a collective community of churches. So there is no idea here that this particular ministry should only be under oversight of a single church. But churches, seeing the need, they did not exercise overzealous spirit about their independence or autonomy. They saw the need and they banded together. And now you have this potential of more funding, more resources, because churches banded together. So what more could be done when churches do things as one? How much more extensive? And we are practicing this now with Trinity Bible Church of San Pablo in some of our activities, and how I wish it could widen with other churches. You've often heard from me stories about William Carey and his exploits as a missionary in India. Well, Carey's church was a member of the Northamptonshire Association. Alone, that church would not be able to support William Carey. But through the help of other churches forming the Baptist Missionary Society, and with the zealous support of Andrew Fuller, Carey's missionary work was sustained and has achieved much that would have been impossible for a singular church. So this is a model crying out for our emulation. Churches join together in pursuit of ministry. And secondly, brethren give readily in honor of messengers. Now that is what Paul expects. And he challenges the Corinthians to prove true of that expectation. He says, give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men. Now, is Paul suggesting a man-pleasing motive for the Corinthians to give liberally? Sinasabi ba niya na magyabang kayo sa inyong kayang ibigay sa mga mensahero, sa mga sugo ng mga iglesia? I don't think so. Rather, it is saying giving in church is a response of honor to those who bear its mission. Kasama sa isinasaalang-alang ang mga sinusugo ng iglesia para sa misyon, para sa mensahe na dinadala natin. Now, if you will give to any charity, and I encourage you to do that, if you will give to any charity or cause-oriented organization, among other things, you consider the people associated with it. Hindi ka naman basta na lang magbibigay sa kung saan galing ang mga solicitation. Iisipin mo kung sinong mga tao ang nandun because gusto mo ng kredibilidad. And that is the right thing to do. Consider the men, the people associated. Well, this is exactly what Paul is encouraging the Corinthians. You see these messengers. One is famous for preaching the gospel. Another is zealous and earnest in his service. And with that credibility behind these two men, he expects the Corinthians to respond with liberality. So he's building up Titus. He is building up the two brothers. Why? To instill in the Corinthians confidence that their giving is for an honorable cause. And the connection between giving and honor for messengers is elsewhere recognized in Paul's letters. Let me just cite one in Romans 15, 25 following. Paul says, I am going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. So in other words, these Macedonian churches are responding eagerly with material blessings, with giving, because they are conscious of the spiritual blessings of which they are beneficiaries from the churches they were extending their gift. So becoming a beneficiary of the ministry of mission-bearing messengers must press brethren to give. And this is something that we need to encourage more and build more in our own spirit, in our own instinct, in responding with giving because we believe in the mission, because we believe in the message, and because we believe in the people behind the mission and the message. During the Asian financial crisis of the late 90s, among those that quickly recovered was South Korea. And the reason their citizens willingly gave money, jewelries, in order to sustain the needs of government. I suspect while they were doing that, Filipinos were hoarding. But that was their self-denying response because they believed in their government, because they believed in their leaders. And this is an instinct that we should animate in our giving. So reflect as a challenge, reflect in your giving, your priority of the ministry of the word. Now take note here, there is something important that we should not miss. Besides calling these two brothers messengers of the churches, Paul adds they are the glory of Christ. Now you may respond, say again, maybe Paul means they are to the glory of Christ. No, Paul says they are the glory of Christ. Their ministry of the word, one is for the gospel, the other is to challenge earnestness. This is the glory of Christ, Paul says. And by that, he is encouraging the Corinthians, by being a part of the sustaining of the ministry of the word, you share in the glory of Christ. And again, this is corroborated in other parts of scriptures. Listen to 2 John verses 6 and 8, where John encourages the brethren to support those who carry the gospel in other places. He said, "You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God." Therefore, we ought to support people like this, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Imagine what John is saying. When you support these people who bear the message, it is like working with God. It is like doing it in a manner that you do it to God. And again, to you who hear this message, it is like God is speaking to you. If someone who bears this message deals with you, makes you hear the message, this is no less than God's blessing upon you. Pinagpapala ka ng Diyos sa mensaheng naririnig mo sa Ebanghelyo. At itong inaasahan sa mga iglesia na makita nila na ang mga nagdadala ng mensahe ng mga iglesia ay ginagawa ito bilang kasangkapan at kinatawan ng Diyos. Even Jesus and His company of disciples, when they were ministering, they needed the financial sustenance of people who cared. Listen in Luke 8 verse 3, where Luke names individuals, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. So there in their Galilean ministry, Luke immortalizes these names. This is the only place these names are mentioned. And what was it that is deserving of that honor? Because they provided for Jesus and His company from out of their means. So to Luke, this is worthy of honor. And the question that we must respond to is, can I be one of those women out of my means? Even Jesus, in His humbled condition, needed sustaining. And by that, He demonstrated that we must have that interdependence among the brethren for sustenance of our ministries. Paul says of the second brother, "He is more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you." What Paul is saying here is that this man, this second brother being sent to you, is all the more confident, all the more hopeful because of your readiness to give. I said in my scripture reading, there should be no money motive in the ministry of the word. But even so, the liberality of giving by brethren for the sustaining of the ministry encourages ministers. Not for what profit that is to be gained, but because it shows the willingness of the people of God to be part of the ministry of the Word of God. So examine your giving. Again, I keep saying here, we don't monitor it. And I intend that policy to be in place. But examine your giving before yourself and God. Can you describe it as liberal? Is it in response to your esteem of the churches and of those who minister the message of the church? I'm sure you know Hudson Taylor, among the great names of missionaries, along with William Carey, Adoniram Judson. We should also put Hudson Taylor, missionary to China. And there have been times in his ministry that his resource was reduced to coins. Wala na yung mga bills, hanggang naging barya na lang ang hawak niyang pera at certain points and stages of his ministry. But he made and he lived by this principle. His principle was, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. God's work done in God's way, will never lack God's supply. That supply may be reduced to coins at a certain point, but when you trust in the Lord and you do it His way, it will not lack His supply. So the thought of being a part of the extension of the kingdom should animate our liberality. And let us challenge ourselves, brethren. We are simply heirs of what has been started more than 2,000 years ago. And those men, without our technology and riches and affluence, yet they managed to pursue a kingdom-spreading project because they were united, they were brethren who saw the need, and they were self-denying in their giving, liberal, because they thought of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what they have done in the past, let us be inspired to continue doing in the present. And that is the point of our last hymn, Facing a Task Unfinished, that drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease. Then it reminds ourselves of those who in the past have done it with courage, with self-denial, with faithfulness, and that same challenge is now extended to us. Let's close in prayer. Aming dakilang Diyos, aming mabuting Ama, nawa nga ay maramdaman namin ang hamon sa mga salita na aming pinagbulayan, na dapat kaming mag-isip ng mga interes, hindi lamang ng aming sarili o ng aming iglesia, kundi ang pangkabuuan ng mga iglesia na nagtataguyod ng taharian. Grant, O Lord, that we may have this perspective of churches working together in order to pursue and promote the interests of the kingdom. And the kingdom is larger than any single church. May we learn from this text and other passages of scriptures, as well as the examples of our forebears in the past who formed community of churches in their desire to work together, to join and combine their resources so that together they may pursue the kingdom in its claims and in its promotion. We ask that we may take courage, take inspiration from the examples of the past and from the exhortation of Scripture, that we may not become overzealous for independence, that we forget interdependence, and overzealous for autonomy, that we forget shared responsibility. And help us, Father, that we may readily give with liberality in honor of those who bear the message and the mission. May we heed the exhortation of the Apostle John that we are to support such people in a manner worthy of God. May we be like those women singled out by Luke as supporting Jesus and His company out of their means. So may we take it indeed as part of an honorable ministry that we give liberally for the sake of the ministry of the Word. So help us in the application of this. Minister to those who have been hearing the message without realizing what a privilege, what a favor God is extending to them. And we pray that today they may be awakened and respond to the gospel in faith. And help us to be a church that seeks the extension of your kingdom together with other churches of like faith. And we pray that all this will challenge us to be able to share our gifts and to be liberal in our giving, all to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.